Morning, guys. Can I request everyone to please stand as we read God's Word together? Can I ask someone to flash it on screen? Okay, let's open our Bibles to Mark 7. If you have your Bibles with you, Mark chapter 7, verse 24 to 30. And at the count of three, let's read it all together. Okay, 1, 2, 3. And from there he arose and went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and did not want anyone to know. Yet he could not be hidden. But immediately a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And he said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." And he said to her, "For this statement, you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter." And she went home and found the child lying in bed and the demon gone. Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for this day that we can gather in the name of Jesus, O Lord, to hear from your word. Lord, we humbly ask that you just fill this place with the power of your Spirit right now, O God. We pray, O Holy Spirit, that you'll be the one to minister to each and every heart, O Lord. We pray, O God, that you allow your word to be delivered with power, anointing, and clarity this morning. And Lord, I also humble myself before you today. May you anoint my lips of clay. Hide me behind the cross, O God, as I preach your word, Lord. And we just believe, O God, that your word is going to bring forth blessing in our lives. And whatever will be done and accomplished this morning, we give you back all the glory, the praise, and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Now you may be seated. Now guys, I've entitled today's sermon, A Humble and Persistent Faith. The passage we have today is one of the few passages in the Gospels where the Lord Jesus Christ is really pleased with somebody's faith. So while this story is about the woman's daughter being delivered from demonic possession, if you look at the parallel passage of what we're studying right now in Matthew 15, verse 21 to 28, this is also a story about the Lord Jesus being greatly pleased and commended someone for her faith. So guys, more than this woman's encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, more than her daughter being healed from demonic possession, this passage is actually about honoring and worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ with our faith. Now, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, the Bible tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And one of the ways that we can please the Lord is to have faith like this Canaanite woman. And church, as I was studying this passage, I came to realize that faith actually brings about two things. Now, faith brings us what we need, while at the same time, faith honors the Lord. Faith honors the Lord, and at the same time, faith brings us what we need. And the point is this, guys, as we study this morning, this is something, a tool for us, wherein it could strengthen our faith. Now, if we want to please the Lord with our life, if we want the Lord to meet our needs, then we got to possess a faith like this Canaanite woman, okay? A humble and persistent faith. Again, the groundwork for our study this morning is that faith brings us what we need, and faith honors the Lord. Now, going now to our text, it says here in Mark chapter 7, verse 24, it says there, "And from there he arose and went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered the house and did not want anyone to know, yet he could not be hidden." Now, Mark 7:24 tells us that the Lord Jesus traveled to Tyre and Sidon. Now, what is remarkable about this statement is that Tyre and Sidon is not part of the Jewish territory anymore. It's beyond the boundaries of the Jewish community. Now, Tyre and Sidon belongs to the territory of Syria and Phoenicia, hence the term Syro-Phoenician woman. Now, Tyre and Sidon is heavily a Gentile territory. Now, what is a Gentile? If you are not a Jew, then regardless of what race you are a Gentile. So, Tyre and Sidon is not a Jewish community. It's not a Jewish territory. It's heavily a Gentile territory. Now, why is this remarkable is that you must understand that the Lord Jesus Christ was primarily sent by God to the people of Israel. In fact, in the parallel verse in Matthew 15, verse 24, the Lord Jesus said, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So meaning to say, when the Lord Jesus first came, his primary ministry was unto the people of Israel. His primary work was unto the Jews and not to the Gentiles. But yet here in Mark chapter 7, verse 24, the Bible tells us that Jesus traveled deep into the Gentile territory together with his disciples. And it also says here that he didn't want anyone to know that he was there. Now guys, you must understand that during this time, the Lord Jesus Christ was the most famous man on that side of the earth. He was the most popular man during that time. Wherever he goes, people would flock together just to take a glimpse of how he looks. Wherever he goes, people will flock together to see the many miraculous things that he does. People flock together to hear what he has to say. During this time, if you may, the Lord Jesus Christ was a super celebrity. So wherever he goes, people flock together. And here in verse 24, Mark specifically tells us that the Lord Jesus didn't want anyone to know that he was there. Now, some say that the Lord Jesus wanted to rest during this time. But guys, if he really wanted to rest, why would he do it in a Gentile territory? Or if he really wanted to rest, he could have just done it at home or done it in the mountain where he and his disciples can really be alone and they could really find rest. And if he really wanted to rest, why would he bring along his disciples who by themselves are a handful to manage? Now, John MacArthur offers a suggestion, a high probability of what the Lord Jesus was doing there. Now, you must understand that during this time, the Lord Jesus was in the final year of his ministry. In fact, the crucifixion was just months away. So the Lord Jesus now realized that he needs to enhance the training of his disciples. He needs to, quote-unquote, level up the mentoring of his disciples. The Lord Jesus was there to train and really give his time and focus and give his full attention to his disciples because he knows he's about to ascend to heaven. And why would he do it in a Gentile region? It is because he knows that in God's plan, it will be his disciples that will bring the good news of the kingdom into the Gentile territories. So Jesus was not there to rest. He was there to spend quality time with his disciples, to immerse them into the Gentile work, because it would be them who would bring about the good news of the kingdom. Now you must understand that the Jews back then have a very hostile attitude towards the Gentile. The Jews somehow possess a spiritual superiority complex as chosen people by God. Now, they think if you are a Gentile, then you are automatically unclean. If you are a Gentile, you do not have part of God's salvation plan. So the Jews back then possessed this very, what you call it, superiority complex. In fact, they viewed the Gentiles as dogs. No, not just any dogs, they viewed the Gentiles as askals, no, asungkalye. They see the Gentiles as stray dogs, wild dogs. That's how they view the Gentiles. And the sad thing is, most of the disciples aren't exempted from such attitude. No, they're not exempted from such kind of superiority complex spiritually. Ba? They view Gentiles as dogs. Now, in fact, in the parallel passage in Matthew chapter 5, verse 23, it says here, when this woman came to the Lord Jesus Christ crying and begging and presenting her need to the Lord, the Bible tells us that as this woman came to Christ, the disciples begged Jesus to send this woman away. Now guys, these disciples, they are supposed to reflect the image and likeness of God. They are supposed to reflect the image and likeness of Christ. They are supposed to be Christ-like. But yet when this woman came and begged the Lord to heal her daughter, ang sulti sa Bible, the disciples also went to Jesus and asked Jesus, Lord, please send her away. Now, can you imagine? Again, the disciples were not exempted from such poor attitude. That's why the Lord needed to bring them to Gentile territory to show them that the Gentiles are part of God's plan as well. The Lord healed this Gentile woman's daughter to show them that God loves the Gentiles as well. Now, he performed this miracle in a Gentile territory to let them know that the miracles available for the Jews are available for the Gentiles as well. And guys, we should greatly rejoice in this particular verse. You know why? Because this passage is actually the dawn of God's work for the Gentile people. He was here training his disciples for the global ministry that was to come. Now, he brought his disciples here to start immersing them for the global ministry, for the worldwide ministry that was about to come to them. Now, how many of you know, or how many of you realize that in the Old Testament, God's plan for salvation for the Gentiles has long been promised? It has long been prophesied. It has long been spoken by God. So your salvation and my salvation, the salvation of the Gentiles, has long been prophesied, promised, and spoken by God. Now, if you can turn with me to Genesis chapter 22, verse 18. Now, guys, as early as Genesis chapter 22, it says here, God said to Abraham, through your offspring, meaning the Jews, all the nations, meaning the Gentiles, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. So God spoke, God prophesied, God promised. He said, through your offspring, again, this refers to the Jews, all the nations of the earth, meaning the Gentiles, they will be blessed. So guys, as early as Genesis, God already spoke about our salvation. He already prophesied about our salvation. Now, of course, here in Genesis 22, verse 18, the promised blessing here is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. The promised blessing here is none other than the salvation of man in Christ Jesus. So you see, as early as Genesis, God already promised, planned, and spoke of our salvation, us, the Gentiles. Now, another verse in Psalm 67, verse 1 and 2, it says here, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all the nations. So there it goes again. It speaks about the Gentiles. It speaks about the salvation of Gentiles. And the point is this, guys. Long before the Lord Jesus Christ came, God's plan for salvation upon the Gentiles has long been promised. So this verse, Mark chapter 7, verse 24, tells us that the God whom we serve is a God who fulfills his promise. We serve a God who is able to do what he has spoken in his word. Every word he has spoken will definitely come to pass. Everything he says will definitely happen. In fact, the Lord Jesus said, heaven and earth will fade away, but my words will remain forever. Meaning to say, everything in this world will be gone, but what he has spoken in his word will truly come to pass. And guys, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we greatly rejoice in this because his word is something solid. It's something solid that we can rely on. His promises are certain. It's definite that we can hold on to. We serve a God who's faithful to his word. We serve a God who's faithful to his promise. Amen? Now, since we worship a faithful and promise-keeping God, we ought to respond in faith. Now, guys, once again, let me just remind you the reason why we are here together, why we see different churches, why we see many different believers across the globe. Now, this passage we're studying, this was the time, this was the dawn of all this church's birth. And we should greatly rejoice in this because, again, it just tells us that God is a promise-keeping God. Now, every time you see Living Word churches, every time you see CCF or City Church, whatever churches you'll see, always remember, these churches exist. We exist because at one point in eternity, God made a promise that the Gentiles will be saved. So we serve a promise-keeping God, church. So let the churches you see around you be a reminder to you that we serve a faithful God. Now, since we serve a faithful and promise-keeping God, what then should be our response? What then should be our response? Our response should be faith. Now, everybody say faith. Say it louder, guys. Faith. Okay, right. Now, guys, the sad thing today is that the word faith is one of the most misunderstood and greatly misused word in our time. Now, like for example, if somebody's going through tough times or na magkalisod, the most common word of encouragement is, have faith lang bro, or have faith lang sis, ma-okay talaga na. Now, if somebody's about to take the exam, have faith lang, makapasa lagi ka. bisag wa magtuon, have faith lang, no? If somebody is sick, the most common encouragement, have faith lang, maokay ra ka, this too shall pass, maayo ra ka. If somebody's marriage is crumbling, the usual kwan, encouragement is have faith lang. Have faith lang, have faith lang, have faith lang. But guys, you got to ask yourself this question. Have faith in what? Have faith in what? Now, the problem is most people, even some Christians, tend to equate faith with positive thinking. Now, some people think that by believing that it will be okay, that is already faith. By just thinking, okay, ratana, they think that is already faith. Now, guys, let me tell you, that's not faith. That's merely positive thinking. And that's not Christian at all. That's New Age. Because the scripture has a very clear definition of what faith is. Romans 10, verse 17. Now, Romans 10, 17 says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. In other translations, it says there, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of God. This means faith is trusting what God has spoken. Faith is trusting that God will do what he has promised. I mean, faith is not having faith in chance. Faith is not about thinking that everything's going to be okay. But faith is trusting what God has said in his word. Faith is trusting, obeying, and doing what God has said in his word. Now, the basis of your faith should be the word of God. You should know what the Lord God has spoken. So guys, never ever say, never ever claim that you have faith if you are ignorant of God's word. Because faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of God. The basis of your faith should be the word of God alone. Okay, so that's what faith is all about. Now again, going back to Mark 7:24, this verse here is a fulfillment of God's promise. We serve a promise-keeping God. We serve a God who always do what he has spoken. Now, this verse, again, the Lord Jesus was in Tyre and Sidon to immerse his disciple for the global ministry that was to come, a ministry to the Gentile. Because again, in God's plan, he knows that it will not be him who will bring the good news into the Gentiles, but it will be his disciples. So this tells us that he is a promise-keeping God. And we ought to respond in faith. Now, how is it to respond in faith? How do we respond in faith? Let's read on Mark chapter 7, verse 25 to 26. Okay? It says there, when the Lord Jesus arrived in that place, he entered a house, and he didn't want anyone to know. And Mark continues to say, but immediately, a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him, came and fell down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. Now again, the popularity of the Lord Jesus during this time was uncontainable. Now when this woman heard that the Lord Jesus was in town, she immediately came to Christ. But guys, you must understand, for this woman to come to Christ, she took a lot of risk. She broke a lot of traditions. She broke a lot of customs. Now, first of all, there was the risk of rejection. Now, she was a woman. Now, back then in their culture, as a woman, she was not even supposed to approach any man. Much more that she was a Gentile. So there was a big possibility that if she comes to Christ, she would either be ignored or she would be rejected because she was a Gentile woman. And not only was she a woman, in Matthew's account, Matthew described her to be a Canaanite woman. Now, Canaanites are enemies of the Israelites. And the Israelites considered the Canaanites as a race cursed by God. So traditionally, the Jews were not very friendly to the Canaanites. So the odds was all against her. But yet she took the risk to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now while it's already bad enough that she was a Canaanite woman, much more, Mark described her as a Syrophoenician woman. Now a Syrophoenician, no? Syrophoenicians, are known worshippers of the pagan god Astarte. In other words, if you're a Syrophoenician, there's a big, big chance that you are a pagan worshiper, that you are a worshiper of the goddess Astarte. Now, you must remember that the Lord Jesus Christ was a known rabbi during their time. Now, traditionally in the Old Testament, no self-respecting rabbis would allow a Gentile woman, especially idolatrous Gentile woman, to remain in his presence. So the odds were against her. There was a risk that she needs to take. There was protocols. There were traditions that she needs to break. But in spite of all this, this woman came forward and met with the Lord Jesus Christ anyway. Now guys, it must have been very uncomfortable for her. There must have been a lot of what ifs that were running through her mind before she actually came to Christ. Maybe she was thinking, what if I go there and the disciples will drive me away? What if I go there and Jesus will just ignore me? Or what if I go there and I know that he is a holy man? What if he knows my sins and will curse me instead of healing my daughter? Again, guys, there could have been a lot of what ifs that was running through her mind before she actually came to Christ. There were a lot of risks. It was highly uncomfortable for her. But in spite of the risks, in spite of the fear, in spite of the discomfort, she went on and came to Christ anyway. Now guys, yes, we serve a promise-keeping God. We serve a God who truly loves us. We serve a God who's true to His Word. But what's true for this woman should also be true for each one of us. If we want to respond in faith, if we want to follow hard after the Lord Jesus Christ, then we've got to be willing to take risks. We've got to be willing to break free from traditions, willing to break free from comforts. Because the Word of God requires us to take risks. The Word of God requires us to break free from our comfort zones. The Word of God requires us to challenge traditions and customs. Guys, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, the Bible clearly tells us we ought to live by faith and not by sight. We ought to live by faith and not by sight. And living by faith means to take God at His Word, to obey what the Word of God tells us to do, to take God at His promises. Now, that's what living by faith is all about, to do things that are even difficult or uncomfortable because we want to follow God's Word. Now, living by faith is trusting and obeying the Word of God, while living by sight is trusting our own reasoning. We trust what we see. We trust what we hear. We trust our own thinking. We trust our own ability. Now, for example, the Bible tells us that as believers, we ought to be generous givers. We ought to be generous givers. And if we live by faith, kung we really truly want to honor the Lord with our faith, then di na ta magsigig kwenta. We live generously and leave it up to God to provide us with our provision. Now, there are so many Christians kusuke mangwinta sa Ginoo, Lord, if I bring my offering, unsaon na ako pagbayad sa kurinti? If I bring my offering, how can I buy a new gadget? If I bring my offering, how I can pay for my monthly amortization? So on and so forth. There are a lot of what ifs, a lot of discomfort, a lot of traditions, or a lot of comfort that needs to be challenged. The Bible tells us, Jesus tells us, if you want to come follow after me, you must deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. But there are so many Christians who want to bargain with the Lord. Lord, ganahan pa ko magparty-party, kay batanon pa ko. Later na ko mo-follow ni mo, Lord. Or Lord, can I just follow you next year? Or can I just follow you next week? I'm still so much enjoying my life right now. I just couldn't give up this part of my life, Lord, because you know, this is important to me. Now guys, that's living by sight. Living by faith is that you just take God's Word and follow Him and deny yourself. The Word of God tells us to never give up meeting one another because the day of His coming is almost near. The Bible encourages us to meet with one another regularly as believers. That's why the reason we have MD groups. That's why the reason we have cell groups. That's the reason we have so many different Bible studies because we want to gather together and encourage one another. But yet, there are so many brothers and sisters who think, busy kay ko, Lord. Unya na lang ko mo attend og fellowship. Again, that's living by sight, brothers and sisters. Living by faith is that you take God at His Word. Bahalag unsa ka busy, but you find time to meet with your fellow believers, to encourage one another. Because to respond in faith, there is discomfort. To respond in faith, there's risk that needs to be taken. The Bible tells us to do not be equally yoked with unbelievers. No, ayaw ba kay boyfriend or girlfriend or unbelievers. Bahala mo rag K-pop yang hitsura. No? Do not be equally yoked with unbelievers. And then there are so many Christians who bargain with the Lord. Lord, guapa man kay siya. Or Lord, guapo man kay siya. Or Lord, she truly loves you or he truly loves you. But the Word of God tells us, do not be equally yoked with unbelievers. That if you live by faith, you were willing to take the risk. You're willing to challenge what is comfortable. Now guys, as I was preparing for this sermon, I remember the story or the testimony of Tim Tebow. For those of you who do not know who Tim Tebow is, he's a famous football player in the U.S. No, he's a professional football player. And he's a celebrity in his own right. While he's a celebrity, he's also a committed follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. A very outspoken Christian. And he's a famous athlete back in the States. Now, 4 years ago, he made the news for one of the most awkward reasons. And the title of the news article says, Tim Tebow's Miss USA girlfriend breaks it off due to his abstinence. Now, his ex was a Miss Universe. If I'm not mistaken, Miss Universe 2012. Now, his girlfriend broke up with him because he refuses to have premarital sex with her. The girlfriend broke up with him because he refuses to have premarital sex with her. Now, the article says that Tim Tebow was really in love. By the way, they met in a church. Huh? So in other words, the girl was a fake Christian and Tim Tebow was a genuine one. Now, Tim Tebow gave up his relationship with a Miss Universe because he doesn't want to compromise his Christian values. Now guys, sex in the U.S. right now is just a very casual thing. If you're a celebrity, it's much worse. It's just like drinking water. But Tim Tebow doesn't buy into that because he knows what the Word of God says. He knows what honors the Lord and what displeases the Lord. So that's why he was willing to give up his glamorous relationship with this Miss Universe because he wants to honor and please the Lord. Now, church, that is what responding in faith is all about. You take God at His word. You're willing to take risks. You're willing to let go of things that you know that displeases and dishonors the Lord. So Tim Tebow let go of that glamorous relationship. And by the way, this news was 4 or 5 years ago. Just early this year, I read another news article that Tim Tebow is now engaged. And he's still now engaged to Miss Universe 2017. No? A woman who now shares the same faith with him. Well, guys, you will never ever be able to outgive God, right? You'll never be able to outgive God. But the point is this, he was willing to let go of that glamorous relationship because he wants to honor the Lord. So, okay, that's what living by faith is all about. If you want to honor Christ, if you want to respond in faith, then you got to understand that there are things that just simply needs to go. There are traditions and comfort that you need to challenge. You got to learn to take God and obey God as His word. And this is what exactly this Canaanite woman did. She took the risk and came to the Lord Jesus Christ. So guys, ask yourself this question. What are the things that's hindering you from totally following the Lord or obeying His word? You got to start living by faith. You got to start taking God at His word. Okay? Now moving on. Let's go to verse 27. When this woman came to the Lord and she was begging the Lord Jesus to deliver her daughter from the demonic possession, while she was kneeling before the Lord, it says here in verse 27 that this was the Lord Jesus' reply. It says here, and He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Now guys, the response of the Lord Jesus here, the loving Jesus, is quite surprising, right? It seemed like He was rejecting this woman's plea. And not only did it seem like He was rejecting this woman's plea, but He also called and deliberately identified this woman as a Gentile. Now, before you think that the Lord Jesus was a racist here or He was being rude, He was not. He was simply telling the woman that his ministry and priority was unto the Jews. He was telling the woman that his ministry, his work, only involves Israel or the people, the children of Abraham. And also, the word dog here in Greek, unlike what most Jews use to describe the Gentiles, the Lord Jesus used a tamer version here. Now, while the Jews usually call the Gentiles as stray dogs, wild dogs, or asong kalye, the word that the Lord Jesus used here in Greek was the word kinarion. And kinarion connotes little dog or pet dogs that run around the house. So if you may, the Lord Jesus' statement here was more affectionate or was more polite. But regardless, he delivered his point that he was primarily sent for the Israelites, that he was primarily sent for the Jews. Now, it seemed like the Lord Jesus Christ was turning down this woman's request. It seemed like the Lord Jesus Christ was shutting down all hope for this woman's daughter to be delivered from demonic possession. Now, if you were this woman, how would you have felt? How would you have felt? I mean, after mustering all the courage, after abandoning her pagan gods, after going against tradition, after taking the risk of being rejected and ignored, lo and behold, that's exactly what seemed to happen. She was ignored and she was rejected. Definitely not the scenario that she hoped for. Definitely not the scenario that she hoped for. Now, if you turn with me to Matthew's account, since Matthew's account is more detailed, can we flash Matthew 15, verse 22 to 23, please? Well, Matthew 22 to 23, 15, sorry, Matthew 15, 22 to 23. It says there, "And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon.'" But look at how the Lord Jesus responded to her. Verse 23. It says here, "But he did not answer her a word." Now she was crying. She was begging the Lord Jesus. But dead mercy, Lord. She was ignored. She was ignored. And what's worse, the disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." So she was ignored and she was rejected. Now, church, if you were this woman, how would you have reacted? How would you have felt? Would you be angry? Would you turn your backs on Christ? Or are you going to take matters into your own hands? Now, guys, over the years in the ministry, this is what I came to realize. Now, just because you took a step of faith, it doesn't mean that things are going to unfold your way. Now, just because you faithfully follow the Lord Jesus Christ, it doesn't mean that he will answer your prayers your way. Now, yes, there are times that he does that, and we praise God for those times. But more often, he meets your faith, he answers your prayers, his time, his term, and his way. Now, let me say that again. More often, the Lord Jesus Christ meets your faith and answers your prayer, his time, his term, and his way. And his time may not always be quick. And his ways may not always be pleasant. But always remember that his ways is always higher than your own. His ways is always higher than your own. Now guys, yes, the Lord wants to meet your needs. He's more than willing to meet your needs as he did to this Canaanite woman. But always remember this. While you have your needs, God has his purpose. While you have your needs, God has his purpose. Now yes, God is a loving God. God is a merciful God. Jesus' silence was not meant to drive this woman away. His remark about the Israelites have to be fed first was not meant to deny this woman of her plea. I mean, when he said these things, when he was silent, he already knew that how the woman would respond to him. He already knew that that he's going to heal or deliver the woman's child anyway. But you know what? His silence and his seeming rejection was meant to accomplish a greater purpose. Why? Because while you have your need, The Lord has His purposes. While you have your need, God has His reasons. Now, the Lord Jesus needed to show His disciples the genuine faith of this Canaanite woman. Jesus showed His disciples the contrasting faith of this Canaanite woman in comparison to the Jews that was rejecting Him with righteous pride in Israel. Jesus needed to show His disciples what humility is all about. The Lord Jesus wants to show His disciples what a persistent faith is all about. In contrast to the rich young ruler who turned away from Him when things didn't go his way. The Lord Jesus showed His disciples what it is to have a humble and persistent faith. Because it was not so long ago that His disciples were arguing who among them is the greatest in God's kingdom. Now Jesus needed to show them humility. Jesus needed to show them the humble faith of this Canaanite woman. He needs to show them what it is to possess a true expression of being poor in the spirit. Something that the disciples needed to learn. Now, Jesus wanted to also showcase the genuine faith of this Canaanite woman. Again, guys, while you have your need, God has His purpose. Now, some of you here, you might be going through tough times right now. Maybe some of you are going through difficulty right now. And the Lord seems to be silent on your requests. Or maybe you're praying for something and you've been praying for quite a while and nothing seems to happen. Brothers and sisters, let me encourage you. Do not be discouraged. The Lord loves you very much. And He's more than willing to meet your needs. He's more than willing to answer your prayers. But always remember that while you have your need, God has His purpose. His silence is not meant to draw you away. His seeming silence is not to discourage you. But He's still trying to accomplish a greater purpose that you may not know of right now. Because while you have your need, He has His purpose. Now, I think I've shared this to some of you before. And allow me to share this to you again. Now, guys, my family do not have very good genes. No, my grandmother, my auntie, my uncle, all of them passed away because of cancer. No, so batik among genes. Okay, made in China, manggod mi. No, so we don't have very good genes. Now, because of this, I was very conscious about the dangers and the reality of cancer. So back then, every time I have my devotions, every time I have my quiet time, I always ask the Lord that He will protect me and my family from cancer. Now almost every day, as I have my devotion, as I pray, as I spend time with the Lord, I see to it that I always make this request. Lord, please protect me. Please protect my family from cancer. Almost every day, every time I come before the Lord, I see to it that I mention this before the Lord. Now, most of you agree with me that I have a legit request, right? I'm not asking for a Ferrari. I'm just asking the Lord that He will protect me and my family from cancer. It's a legit request, right? It is a legit need, if you may. Now, December of 2012, I was commissioned to become a pastor here in Living Word IT Park. December 2012, I responded to God's call by faith. December of 2012. Now, March 2013, just 3 months after I was commissioned as associate pastor here in our church, just 3 months after, I was diagnosed with kidney cancer. So guys, what happened to all the prayers I have prayed? Did my prayers just bounce off the ceiling? I mean, was God indifferent to my needs? Did He not hear my pleas? Now guys, again, while we have our needs, God has His purpose. Now that was almost 7 years ago. And guys, from hindsight, I can honestly say that the Lord never turned a deaf ear to me. He is a prayer-answering God. He is a faithful God. And yes, He is a loving God. While I had my need, He had His purpose. Now looking back, all I can do is just honestly lift up my hands to Him in praise and worship and thank Him that He allowed me to have cancer. Why? Because it was through that experience that the Lord brought me into a whole new level of intimacy with Him. That experience enabled me to minister to so many people who I didn't even think that I'd be ministering to. Because of that, it molded me to become a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. It molded me to become a better follower of the Lord Jesus. Now, I was able to speak to countless people and point people, many different people, to the saving grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now again, church, while we have our needs, God has His purpose. Now guys, that was 7 years ago. Last Thursday, I just had my yearly checkup, and so far, so good. Praise God, I am still cancer-free. The Lord hears our prayers, and the Lord meets our needs. If you want to clap, guys, let's give the Lord a bigger clap than that. He is faithful, and He loves you so much. So if you're going through difficult times right now, if you've been praying and praying and praying, nothing seems to happen, always remember that the Lord Jesus is trying to accomplish something. He's accomplishing something that will cause you to praise Him and worship Him even more in the days to come. Because He is a faithful God. So if some of you are going through tough times right now, if some of you have been praying for a certain thing and nothing seems to happen, learn to wait upon the Lord. Know that He has a purpose. The Bible promises us that those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. To respond in faith, you got to know and you got to be willing to wait upon the Lord. Okay? Now moving on, after the seeming denial of the Lord Jesus Christ, after it seemed to be that her child was going to be hopeless and won't be delivered from demonic possession, let's go to Mark chapter 7, verse 28. And look at the remarkable response of this Canaanite woman. Look at how she responded to the Lord. But she answered Him, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumb." Now guys, instead of being angry, instead of turning her back from Christ, this Canaanite woman humbled herself all the more to the Lord Jesus Christ. What a response! She recognized her unworthiness and acknowledged her place as a Gentile sinner before the Lord Jesus. Now again, in Matthew's account, let's turn there to Matthew's account, since Matthew is more detailed than Mark. O.C. siguro ni si Matthew, no? Matthew 15, verse 24 to 25, it says there, when the Lord Jesus gave her that seeming rejection of her request, it says here, in verse 24, Matthew 15, 24, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." And in verse 25, it says here, "She came and knelt before Him, saying, 'Lord, help me.'" When the Lord seemingly rejected her request, the Bible tells us that this woman came to the Lord and knelt before the Lord and begged for His mercy. Now guys, the word "knelt" here in Greek is the word proskuneo. And proskuneo means to prostrate. It means to bow down very low to someone who you worship. Proskuneo means humbling yourself before someone. Now, the picture of proskuneo is your head, your forehead is touching the ground while your toes is also touching the ground. That's the what you call this, pinaka lowest type of bowing down, proskuneo. So when the Lord Jesus seemed to rejected her plea, the Bible tells us that this woman worshiped the Lord even more. She worshiped the Lord all the more. When things didn't go her way, the Bible tells us that she bowed down all the more and worshiped God. Now guys, this is what true faith is all about. This is what true worship is all about. That we worship God regardless of our circumstances. We worship God no matter what's happening around us. This is true faith. This is true worship. When trials and tribulations come your way, don't turn your backs on God. Don't be disheartened. But instead, pray and pray and pray. When nothing seems to happen, just continue to worship Him. Just continue to honor Him. Now guys, I think this is a great example for all of us. That if you're going through dark valleys, or if you're going to go through dark valleys, you will never allow your circumstances from hindering you to worship Him. Now worship Him. Worship Him regardless of what. Worship Him and worship Him and worship Him until breakthrough happens in your life. Continue to serve Him. Continue to pray. Continue to honor Him until you see His power greatly manifested in your life. Now this is what true faith is all about. This is what true worship is all about. Again, faith brings us what we need, while at the same time, faith honors the Lord. While faith honors the Lord, faith brings us what we need. They go hand in hand. Okay? Now, guys, Mrs. Dolores Dobrico was a lady, of course. Dolores Dobrico was saved sometime around in the 60s or 70s in the rural areas of Mindanao. Now, when she gave her life to Christ, she was heavily persecuted by her husband. She would be verbally abused. Her husband at times would tear her Bibles, would verbally abuse her, just because she was a believer, just because she gave her life to Christ. Now, the verbal abuse eventually became physical abuse. The husband would punch her, the husband would kick her, all because she was professing faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, she has 10 children, and she's the only Christian in their family. And the verbal abuse and the physical abuse went on and on and on. But she never turned her back on Christ. She continued to joyfully serve the Lord Jesus Christ in spite of her circumstances. Now guys, in spite of the abuse that she was receiving, deep inside her, she has a deep burden for the salvation of her husband and all her 10 children. Because none of them are believers. It was only her that was a Christian in their family. So she decided to fast and pray for them. Day in and day out, she fasted and she prayed. Day in and day out, she fast, she prayed, she fast, she prayed. Now, one of her sons, who's my spiritual father back then, told me that she's going to do her fasting and praying under the shade of a coconut tree. Because she fasted and prayed too much, there was now a pathway, a circular pathway beside the coconut tree. Because every day she goes under the coconut tree, pleading the Lord, fasting and praying that the Lord would save her family. Now guys, because of her prolonged fasting, sadly, she became sick. And she eventually died. Now we can say she really worshipped the Lord till her final breath. And when she went home to be with the Lord, God began to answer her prayers. Now, not only was her husband saved, but he became a lay minister who regularly preached in their church. And her children, 6 out of 10, became pastors. And today, all of her grandchildren, not all, most of her grandchildren are firm believers of the Lord Jesus Christ, and 3 of them are pastors as well. Now guys, because of these Dobrico brothers, I know some of them personally, there are countless people who come to the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ because of these Dobrico pastors. Now I know some of them personally. One of them started a Bible school here in Mandaue that trained and equipped so many young pastors to serve the Lord faithfully in the Lord's vineyard. One of these pastors started a church in the red light district in Cebu. Now, up to now, it's still winning souls for the glory of Jesus Christ. Church, up to today, the Lord God is still answering the prayers of Mrs. Dobrico. Amen? Let's give the Lord a big clap for that, guys. We serve a faithful God. We serve a promise-keeping God. Now, just like this Canaanite woman, Mrs. Dobrico persevered in her faith. Worshiped the Lord even when things didn't go her way. She possessed a humble and persistent faith, just like this Canaanite woman. And that type of faith truly honors the Lord. And this is the type of faith that the Lord wants to see in His children. A humble and persistent faith. You worship God regardless of what's happening, what circumstances you're in. Now guys, before I close, there's just one thing I would like us to underscore. There's one thing I would like to highlight. Matthew 15, verse 22. Can we flash it on screen? It says there, "Behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David.'" Son of David. Now this Canaanite woman addressed the Lord Jesus Christ as Son of David. Now, you must understand that the title Son of David refers to the Messiah. It refers to the salvation that God has promised. The Son of David title is reserved for the title of the Savior of the world. Now, guys, while the people only knew Jesus as a great miracle worker, while some people only knew him as a rabbi, as a great teacher, this woman truly knows who the Lord Jesus Christ is. She knows that the Lord Jesus is the promised one of God. She knows that the Lord Jesus is the promised Messiah. He is the begotten Son of God. He's the Savior of the world. So more than the miracle worker, more than the great teacher, she knows that the Lord Jesus Christ is the promised Messiah. And the reason why she was able to truly respond in faith and worship the Lord was because she truly knew who Jesus is. Now, the reason why she was not disheartened, the reason she continued to persevere in faith when things didn't go her way, because she truly knew who Jesus is. Now, when Jesus was silent, she knew who Jesus is. When the disciples drove her away, she knew who Jesus is. When the Lord Jesus told her that he was only sent to the people or to the Jews or to the people of Israel, she knew Jesus is. She knew who Jesus is. And the point is this. If you truly know who the Lord Jesus Christ is, if you truly know and get to know him, this is what will help you to persevere in faith and worship. Now you must understand, guys, that faith and trust, they go hand in hand. Never say that you have faith if you do not trust the Lord. Never say you have faith if you do not trust the Lord. And never say that you trust the Lord if you do not know the Lord. Because knowing and trusting, they also come hand in hand. Now, for example, if you go down from Skyrise Alpha right now and you walk on the street and somebody will tell you, buy or die, mahuam ko sa imong sapatos, be, ugma ako nang iuli ni mo. You would never lend that person your shoes, right? Why? Because you don't trust that person. Because you don't know that person. That's why you don't trust him or her. But if Pastor TJ will come to you and say, pahulma ko sa imong sapatos, be, of course you will lend it to Pastor TJ, right? Because you know Pastor TJ and you trust Pastor TJ. And the point is this, guys. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, never claim that you know the Lord Jesus. Because it's only by knowing him that you will be able to trust him. So I encourage you to know the Lord Jesus Christ through his word. Because faith and trust, they go hand in hand. Get to know the Lord. Spend time in prayer. Spend time meditating in his word. Join our MD group that we will be able to encourage one another. Join the MD group that we will be able to equip each other. Now guys, this woman's humble and persistent faith, the foundation of her humble and persistent faith is because she truly knows who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Now moving last to our last verse, Mark 7, verse 29 to 30. Because of her response, the Lord Jesus said to her, "For this statement, you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter." And when she went home, she found out that the child lying in bed and the demon gone. So faith honors the Lord. At the same time, faith brings us what we need. Faith brings us what we need, and faith honors the Lord. In Matthew's account, the Lord Jesus greatly commended this woman. She told this woman, "You have great faith." Now guys, I don't know about you, but if there is something worth living for in this world, it would be the commendation of the King of Kings. It would be the commendation of our Creator. Amen? So recap the points today. Number one, we serve a promise-keeping God. We serve a God who's faithful to his word. And because we serve a promise-keeping God, we ought to respond in faith. And to respond in faith is that we've got to be willing to take risks. We've got to be willing to challenge comforts and traditions and customs. And when things don't go our way, we got to learn to wait upon the Lord, knowing that he's accomplishing something greater for us and greater for his kingdom as well, knowing that he has a purpose for us. And lastly, to respond in faith, we got to worship the Lord regardless of what circumstances we're in. Amen.